From Capital Broadcasting Company and WRAL.com, this is The Wrap at NC Capital.
Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of The Wrap. I'm Laura Leslie, WRAL Capital Bureau Chief.
And I'm Travis Fain, WRAL State House reporter.
And what a day. Lots going on today, so we'll get right down to it. One of the biggest talked about things today was the reemergence of a bill that would require sheriffs to comply with Immigration and Customs Enforcement voluntary detainer requests. And also would require them to check everybody they arrest against an immigration database so that ICE can know if they've got somebody there that matches an ICE hit. There's a lot of pushback on this, especially from the folks in the four counties where the newly elected sheriffs last year were elected in part because they pledged not to cooperate with ICE detainers. A few things about ICE detainers. Number one, they're 48 hours after they otherwise would set you free, so they can hold you with no charges against you on suspicion for 48 hours, which is apparently a constitutional issue. Another thing about them is that they're voluntary. There's no state law at the moment, although this would, requiring them to honor those requests, and there's also no federal law. But nonetheless, some state lawmakers, House and Senate, Republican for the most part, are saying that, you know, ICE has a job to do, and it is the sheriff's job to uphold the law, and that there is such a thing as immigration law, whether or not you agree with it or like it. And so that's kind of where they're going with this bill.
Yeah, and the bill's been scaled back a little bit since it was in the House. The Sheriff's Association now on board with it, although not all members of the Sheriff's Association certainly on board with it. I know I saw something from Durham's sheriff today, which is one of the ones you mentioned, who had run, and Wake County Sheriff, another one.
Durham, Orange, and Mecklenburg are the ones that kind of ran on that and
so
won.
A lot of your population centers. So this is another one where, while the broad geography might be for it, the population centers, not so much.
Right. And so, you know, did not get a vote today in Senate Judiciary. They're going to have another meeting on Tuesday morning, a couple hours long. So we're probably going to hear more about it then. But we did hear today from a couple of folks from ACLU and the National Immigration Project warning that, you know, what this does is sort of turn every police interaction into basically a checkpoint. And, you know, the sponsors of the bill will argue that this is only a requirement for if they arrest someone. So they'll say, well, that's not really true. They, you know, you can talk to victims, you can talk to witnesses. But, you know, the argument that, you know, opponents of the bill make is that it still has a chilling effect on the immigrant community. And so anyway, so that bill could be on the Senate floor as early as next week. They've been working with House sponsors on this. And so, you know, chances are good that if this goes back to the House for concurrence, it may well get it. And then it would go to the governor's desk. And advocates have already been calling on Governor Cooper to veto it.
Yeah, and this is the one that the Speaker of the House himself, I believe, had gotten involved in on the House side. So obviously this is a priority for an awful lot of people.
Right. So that was one of the things in that committee. Also, you covered another story out of that committee that has to do with gun laws.
Yeah, this is, so you may remember, and we talked about it a little bit last night, there was once a bill, Senate Bill 90, that would have dealt with being able to concealed carry in religious places, houses of worship, basically, that are also schools. Forget about it. Gotten amended. It's gone. It was the gut part, not the amend part. Instead, there's a bill that is being pitched as a way to streamline handgun purchases. Now, I'm going to say something here, and it's going to sound, you know, really important, and then I'm going to kind of start to walk it back as we talk about the bill. But basically, it says that you could get buy unlimited handguns on a single permit. Now, what does that mean? In North Carolina, to buy a gun, unless you have a concealed carry permit.
A handgun, you
have to go to your local sheriff. They give you a pistol permit. They basically declare that you're not of, you know, terrible moral character and should have a gun. So right now, you have to get one for every handgun that you buy. But you can go to the sheriff's office, you can get 5, 10, 20. The state law does not speak to how many you can get.
No, but it does allow the sheriff to say, why do you need 20 handguns?
Exactly. And now this would make it so that you just get it once. It's good for 5 years. You take that to the store. They're still running that federal background check. But I know of no federal law that limits the number of guns you can buy. There is a rule when you purchase multiple guns at once that they have to, you know, call that
report
up to the feds.
Right.
So there is some reporting that's done there. But this again deals with the state law on the local sheriff's permit that you need for a handgun and only a handgun.
And Second Amendment folks have been trying to get out of that whole pistol permitting process for a long time. And the argument was, I mean, and you know, there's some good arguments here that, you know, in the days, Jim Crow days, that was actually used to keep African Americans from buying guns. Because that way the sheriff would issue them a permit and they couldn't get one. There are also arguments that it has been abused by some sheriffs so that they would punish political opponents or people they didn't like by not allowing them to have a firearm. But on the other hand, you've got the folks who are sort of in the more the control side of things saying, well, it also allows the sheriff who knows that one guy on that one road that everybody knows shouldn't have a gun to say, you're not getting the pistol that you can hide and walk around with. And so, there are arguments to be made on both sides. But this would, again, try to sort of undercut that process, kind of get the sheriff out of it. As long as you're not actually convicted of a crime, it's not going to show up in the federal database.
Well, the Sheriff's Association is in favor of the bill, though.
Right.
They see it as kind of a way to streamline the process. In fact, they attached high priority to it.
Well,
which is a message
a
to lawmakers that
sure.
they want. Yeah. So, that one moved, did not move through committee today. It's another one of those discussions. They're probably going to vote on it next Tuesday in Senate Judiciary. And we'll see where it goes from there.
And today, other than that, was, not all about, but largely about renewable energy.
Yeah, a lot
so,
of it.
So on the Senate committee today, looking at a bill that would require recycling for solar panels, right?
Yeah, the idea here is for this, large-scale solar particularly. Now, the ones on your roof, you'd probably have to recycle those as well. But the focus really here is on the big arrays, the farms that you go by. And wind farms, too, although we'll get into that, why it's not really as applicable to that industry. But basically, there's some heavy metals. There's cadmium. There are PFAS, Gen X style stuff in some of these solar panels. So these things that can leach into the soil if the panel breaks. We were shown pictures today of a solar array in Puerto Rico where obviously there was a terrible hurricane.
Sure.
And now they're just broken. And whose responsibility is that, Senator Paul Newton asking? And so this is to kind of make people take responsibility if there's an accident that breaks these things or if they reach the end of their life 20 years down the road. You might have to, not only do you have to take them apart and recycle all the parts that you can, there's a landfill ban similar to computers and televisions.
That makes sense for the same reasons. So
you might have to dig up soil. There might have to be soil testing.
Some kind of remediation.
DEQ
sure.
would have to put together a plan for this basically between now and mid-2021. The industry pushing back against this saying, hey, this is a former Duke Energy executive, and Paul Newton here kind of putting the whammy on us, adding these extra costs because there's potentially some upfront bond money that you'd have to put up. Not necessarily, but you do have to make various financial assurances that the money is going to be there if your company goes bankrupt. So basically saying, hey, look, you're throwing up an impediment to clean energy here. And Newton saying this is all common sense stuff. You got to clean up what you do here. And the industry, solar industry, pushing for study instead, saying, look, we're 20, 30 years away from any of these things being at the end of their useful life. Can we take a breath here?
Yeah, but we get hurricanes a little bit more frequently than that.
We darn sure
just
do.
Saying.
Let me talk quickly about the wind portion.
Yeah.
The bill includes wind, too, the same kind of cleanup stuff. But there's only one utility-scale wind farm in North Carolina right now.
That's out east, yeah.
It's the Amazon farm, and it's exempt from the bill. So, really, it's not so much a wind bill, particularly if we have a wind moratorium.
Which it appears we may.
Which brings us to our next point.
Right.
Today in the Senate, the wind moratorium bill, three-year moratorium, passed the Senate, but again with sponsors saying, look, we don't want this moratorium. So this may be the first time in this session where we've heard, we'll fix it in the House, as opposed to Senate.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
But that's the plan. They're going to fix it in the House, and Senator Perry...
fix it in which way?
They want to get rid of the moratorium, we're told. And we're told that there is general agreement between various parties. Senator Perry is saying that the idea is to have military commanders designate a civilian to participate in the process by which we approve these things now. And this is all about protecting military bases, according to the sponsors. They want to not have wind farms near military bases, not have them in the... corridors that pilots
use for training.
This
debate's been going on for a long time.
It has indeed. And we've already had one 18-month, I believe, moratorium that we got out of, within the last year.
Yeah.
So this would put us back into one right now. But again, they're saying, hey, once this thing gets over to the House, which it's headed to the House now, by special messenger, I believe. And more to come on that. We'll see what happens
exactly.
there.
Exactly. In the meantime, another kind of ferocious debate today in the House Judiciary Committee over a bill that I don't think got that much debate in the Senate, but it's a bill that would extend the statute of limitations for civil lawsuits for people who were the victims of child sexual abuse.
Yep.
So, amazing to me, North Carolina law limits civil sort of, you know, the statute of limitations is 3 years. That's like nothing.
Three years from your 18th birthday, yeah. I believe, not necessarily from the time that the assault happened.
But still, I mean, we know that a lot of survivors don't even sort of process what happened, come to terms with it, even recall it until quite some time later in their lives. So what this would do is to add 20 years. So instead of being 21 being your cutoff, it would be 38. It would give people a little bit more time to sort of establish their lives. However, this ran into some pushback from some of the Republicans on committee, many of them attorneys, who were sort of looking at this in terms of, you know, how would a defense attorney defend somebody in one of these cases? How do you know, where were you 30 years ago? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, how do we, and, you know, they worried that this could open up potential liability against, say, schools or camps or community centers for failing to stop the abuse at the time if it was reported to them. They also worried that it would, you know, possibly bring an avalanche of false accusations from people who want to end people's political careers. Like, for example, we're thinking of the Supreme Court hearings, of course, or who wanted to get payback, settle a score, or just make some money off of somebody with deep pockets. So so there was a lot of argument about lowering that 20 years to 10. But in the meantime, you know, sponsors of the bill fighting back passionately. Senator Rydell, sort of in disbelief that this conversation was even happening. Representative Rydell. And then Representative White from Johnston County talked about her many years as a victims advocate and talked about the difficulty in prosecuting a criminal case so many years out because the evidence just, you know, is not there. You know, you don't have the physical evidence of childhood sexual abuse. And so just civil is often the only way to go because a DA is not going to take that case. You know, without some ability, some time, there's really no way for folks to sort of try to get justice. So that bill did pass committee. I will say there was one man who came and spoke about his experiences with childhood abuse, and the whole committee just went quiet, and it was just kind of an amazing moment. And so it passed the committee, it was a wide margin, and probably will end up on the House floor, I would think, sometime in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if that 20-year threshold survives the rest of this process.
And there was talk about that. I mean, Rydell saying in the committee, you know, we still got to get this through the Senate, and, you know, they're probably going to want to whittle it down, so let's keep it at 20, at least going in. Mm-hmm. So,
Tesla was here today. If you were around, you may have seen them taking the real good parking spaces out in front of the legislature.
Oh, they had those set off with cones for them.
They were cool cars. You know, they're giving lawmakers test drives. The reason, I'm told, is there are a trio of bills, two of them titled Clarify Motor Vehicle Dealer Laws. This is a routine thing that comes
up. They fight this fight every year.
And there's some language in it that Tesla doesn't like. I don't know the details, but Tesla's one of those companies that wants to sell direct to people, cutting out the standard auto dealers. So this is kind of an ongoing fight. So look for that to crop up over the next week or so, maybe a little longer. But that's what they were doing here today. Also, real briefly, the alcohol and stadiums bill, mm-hmm. that moved through Senate Commerce today. Finance is its next stop. It got an amendment. It's not real substantial, but it is going to mean that once this thing clears the Senate, it's going to have to go back to the House for final concurrence, but that's moving right along. CON reform, that made it through committee today, Health Committee, and goes on to Senate Finance as well. So that's moving forward. That's not the full CON repeal, but it is a partial repeal of certificate of need rules, particularly for ambulatory surgery centers and a bunch of others. It's a complicated bill.
And then DEQ today announcing that it is not, basically it announced that it has classified seismic testing for oil, for offshore drilling, as incompatible with its coastal management plan.
Yeah.
Does that mean they can just stop it?
For now. Basically, they've said this to one company. There are four other companies that are in various stages of wanting to do this. But basically, this is stopped for now. No seismic testing off the coast. This can be appealed and presumably will be appealed. And this is, you know, this is the search step that happens before you drill for oil and gas off
right.
the coast.
But there are concerns, and I mean, there have been people who have, you know, done research that has found that it really does affect marine mammals like whales, dolphins can lead to. Some people believe that it can lead to mass beaching events. I don't, you know, I'm not up on that literature, but that is one of the concerns that we've heard.
There are a lot of concerns, particularly for like you said, whales and dolphins. The DEQ's decision is actually based on the potential impact it would have on the fisheries. In
sure,
the area,
that too.
On commercial fishing particularly. So it's a little bit different than the mammals, which is kind of when you hear environmentalists talk about it.
That's
a lot of
what
times,
you hear, yeah.
A lot of times they're talking about whales and other animals that sure. use like sonar to get around in the ocean.
But you know, I mean, fish also easily, they spook easily. And those, that area where, you know, folks want to see if there's oil is sort of at the confluence of a couple of major currents. Mm-hmm. And so it is a really productive fishery for the East Coast. And so if you disrupt that particular fishery, you're disrupting fisheries pretty much up and down the seaboard. And so, you know, that obviously is a concern for the folks who rely on that for a living.
Yep. So that is, I mean, at the best or worst, depending on your side of this, delayed.
Yeah. Delayed for now.
For now.
Coming up tomorrow, the gaming bill is back. Right? That fantasy sports bill that got voted against last week is suddenly back, like they do around here, the Lazarus bills. So obviously leadership had a couple of floaters there last week. Wasn't enough to push it through. Going to come back tomorrow, maybe with some more floaters this time, and see if they can't get that fantasy gaming bill onto the House floor. You got to credit them for their persistence.
Yeah, you can't keep a good bill down. You also can't keep a bad bill down.
And then tomorrow, the Senate is meeting, but we don't know what they're doing yet.
Yeah, they're at 12:30 mm-hmm. there for voting session.
And the House is looking at a couple of local voting bills and an ABC reform regulation bill that doesn't seem to be particularly controversial.
You know, due to their policy of doing it all on Wednesday, I just assume there won't be a lot going on tomorrow.
There you go. Anyway, well, whatever it is that does go on tomorrow, of course, we will catch you up on it tomorrow night here on The Wrap.
This podcast is a production of WRAL.com, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. If you like the show, we'd appreciate you giving us a review and sharing it with your friends. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or your favorite listening app.